Philippians chapter 4. Start reading from verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, they are just, they are pure, they are lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise in these things, think upon these things. Now, in the last few weeks, we looked at the scripture says here that we should be careful for nothing. That is, don't entertain thoughts of anxiety about anything. But it says, but with in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we should make our requests known unto God. And we did explain that the prayer there was when it says by prayer and supplication. The prayer there deals with the substance of our request. In other words, the citation of the relevant scriptures that cover that particular situation so that we are making our request on the platform of, you know, that particular citation. In other words, what we do is that we quote the relevant scriptures. That's the prayer there. The relevant scriptures that cover that particular situation. And then we now, on top of that, we now make our specific request known unto God. That is, supplication is a specific request, detailed request, that you are asking in specific terms for something from God on the basis of his will that you have made known. So we said in Acts chapter 4, they made known the will of God from the mouth of David when they were going to pray about their situation. Right? They said, out of the mouth of David, you have said your servant, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? After they quoted that scripture, which was the prayer, they now made their supplication, which was a specific request addressing that particular issue. And what it was grant unto thy servant that they will speak the word with boldness, that by the stretching forth of your hands to heal, signs and wonders will be done in the name of your holy child Jesus. And so we saw later on in the book of Acts that God walked, he healed through the hands of the apostle, many of the sick, and all of them were healed, and many signs and wonders were wrought. So the supplication they offered in private. The Bible says what you pray in secret, it tells us you will be rewarded openly. So our supplication is something we make, all right, in secret between us and God. But what we are saying is that a day will come that men will describe our situation when they see it. And when we bring out the supplication, it will be as though they read the supplication, because the details of what we asked for is what is now found in our lives. So for prayer, all right, to be effective there must be a supplication, a specific request must be made known unto God. All great men of prayer have said the first principle to successful prayer is that you must be specific about your making your request. You must know what you are asking God for. Kenneth Hagin, they asked him, he said, the reason why many people fail in prayer, when they are in a prayer meeting, just stop them and ask them, what are you praying about? They will not be able to answer you in specific terms. What they are simply doing is praying in general terms, which is speaking in other tongues through which you will defy yourself, but it is not effective in terms of receiving something from God if you don't make your request known unto him. So, we saw on that when you do that, God will answer with peace. And the Bible tells us the peace of God. And what's that peace? It is the thoughts of God. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that, you know, I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So the thoughts of peace are sent from God to give you an expected end. The expected end is the end that you prayed for. So God hears, answers, and pours out his thoughts into your heart. And this is what Paul was saying, his thoughts into your heart in order to create that expected end. And that is why Paul said that you must think upon those thoughts that God is supplying. He said, think upon these things. He understood the power of thoughts and the fact that you keep the thoughts of God concerning that thing on your mind continuously until there is a manifestation. He understood that you think upon these things, that you keep your mind upon them, that you don't allow your mind to turn to the other things apart from the thoughts of God concerning that particular thing. That's why in Psalm 85 verse 8, it says, I will hear what the Lord shall speak. He said, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. So he will pour out his thoughts of peace to give you an expected or the expected end, but you sure don't turn again to folly. So Paul teaches that if we therefore desire certain changes in the condition of our lives, and we offer up prayers unto God for those changes to occur, we shall therefore entertain only those thoughts that are consistent with our objective. That you must entertain only those thoughts. I want to look at this, and it's very strong this morning, about the perfect law of liberty. That we are to entertain only those thoughts that are consistent with our objective. That if we do this, we will get the result. But that if he pours thoughts of peace into us, and then we entertain thoughts that the environment is suggesting to us, and we allow ourselves to host those thoughts, that it will affect the outcome. That's why James said, when a man asks, he shall ask in faith, and he shall not waver. That anybody that wavers is like somebody that is tossed with the wind. He said, let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So we cannot afford to be double-minded, which means our mind cannot, all right, be preoccupied with two things there, what God is saying about it, and then also what the environment is suggesting. So Paul says to us that the key here to getting answers, all right, after you've prayed, is that God begins to suggest thoughts to you from the Word of God. You open the Bible and he starts suggesting, point out his thoughts. That you must bring every thought into captivity. Everything you think must be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ concerning that particular thing. So anytime a thought comes up in you concerning that thing you've prayed about, it says, or that thing you believe in God for, every thought must be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ concerning that. So Paul was saying that everything, think upon these things. I want to look at it this morning here. Think upon these things. Every thought must be brought, all right, into captivity. The reason why is this: thoughts come to us, or the reason why thoughts come to us is that they are really seeking for expression, which means any thought that comes to you is seeking for expression on the earth, which is through you. And the question is, are you going to be a host of that thought? Are you going to retain that thought on the inside until the thought, all right, is expressed in your life? Or are you going to relinquish the thought, right? If you feel, well, this thought is not what I want expressed in my life, it is contrary to God, then the Bible says you should cast that thought down. But you should retain the thoughts of God until. That's why they are coming to you, because they want to get expressed in your life. An entrepreneur is a host of an idea, and he holds on to the idea until the idea materializes. Right? So if you are not a good host, what happens is you embrace the idea, and then when trials and tribulation come, you abort the idea because of the pressure that is coming. If you are not a good host, you allow other things, all right, to choke that idea, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things to choke it. In other words, if money comes in, right, because of the idea, you allow, all right, even wealth to choke, right, that thought and the development of that idea on the inside. So those who succeed, right, are the good hosts of the thoughts that God sends to them. So when God wants to bless a person, he pours out the thought. He says, make sure you don't allow Satan to steal the thought. We'll show this. Do something about it immediately. We'll show what you want to do. Or else, after 4 weeks, a very powerful idea might have slipped away and is no longer in your life. But God gave you at a particular point. I mean, during the vigil on Friday, 4 powerful ideas came to me. And I woke up this morning and they were not as strong, all right, as they were when I got them. So I could just have allowed them to slip. Right, so I quickly, you know, held myself accountable, right, to make sure that, you know, I will say something, one of them in church, all right, in order, okay, to be able to follow through on that particular thought there and begin to implement it. We'll see what do. But the first thing is that he starts bringing thoughts to us. And so they want those thoughts, want materialization, right? A good host is one that will make their heart a home to those thoughts, regardless of the environment. Right? They'll make themselves a good host, right, to those thoughts. And how do you make yourself a good host? Because the thought comes in and says, I want to expression here. And God sends his thoughts and says, listen, these are the thoughts, these are the answers to your prayers, these are the things you have seen in my word. Now, these things, all right, let them get expressed within your life. Now, the first thing we've got to do is that we've got to understand we can either reject them or accept them, all right? And both are done with our words. We either reject them, in other words, the thoughts that come to you don't necessarily originate from you, right? Satan might suggest something, and then you reject that. For example, we'll say this, if a thought of theft comes into a person's heart in their office, it is a suggestion that was made by Satan. Now, what the person does is to bring that thought into obedience to Jesus Christ. And the way he does that is by opening his mouth and therefore declaring thoughts from God's word, all right, that will remove that kind of thinking from him. So he declares, I'm a new creature, all things have passed away. He declares the fact that I'm created in righteousness through holiness. He declares the fact that I walk with my own hands, that I might have, I do not steal, but work with my hands, that I might have to give. He understands that the only reason why a person, right, will be tempted to steal is because he doesn't understand how material things can come to him the legitimate way. So he speaks and says that based on these things he has seen in 2 Corinthians, I declare, all right, that God causes all of his grace to abound towards me. I do not need to take this because he gives me sufficiency in all things. and by that grace I abound in every generous donation, that my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's casting down that thought, that imagination, and bringing that thought into obedience to Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Matthew 6 and verse 31. It says this here. Jesus said, therefore, take no thought saying. So the way in which we take thoughts are by saying those things. When you say it, right, you are hosting the thought. So when you accept a thought, you start declaring it. So God came to Abraham and gave him the thought. A father of many nations have I made thee. I do not want this thought to ever leave you. I know you're going to face all kinds of pressures, cares of this world, all right? All kinds of things are coming, will come in. And because I don't want you to lose this thought, he said, change your name to that particular thought. Which means call yourself now and tell everybody to call you Abraham. All right, so every time you call yourself, every time they call you, you'll remember that thought and you'll retain that thought within your life. So we take thoughts by saying. So you must start declaring those things. Matthew 15 gives us deeper insight into it. Matthew 15 and verse 11. Not that which goeth into a man's mouth that defiles the man, but that which comes out of his mouth, this is what defiles him. So they asked him about the parable, and then he went on and said in verse 16, and Jesus said, are you without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at a man's mouth goeth into the belly and is cast in, all right, to the draught? But those things that proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of, it says this, the heart proceedeth evil thoughts. So it says the thoughts are suggested, then when they come out of the mouth of the man, then it gains entrance into his life and defiles him. In another place, he said, don't you know, it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. A good man out of the good treasure, these are thoughts, bringeth forth good things, which means that speaks out those good thoughts. And if there are thoughts that are thoughts to elevate his life, then those thoughts get into his life and elevate him. These are thoughts to defile the man, so they went into his life and defiled him. So we must understand the first form, which thoughts therefore will find in order to give expression to itself. So when thoughts get into you, the first form that thoughts therefore find, right here your words. And this determines the importance of words. So once a thought comes in, the next thing that should happen is that the person should start speaking out in order to retain and to be a good host, to start speaking out those thoughts as the form of his life now, which means that we are transformed. The form of our lives change by replacement of thoughts. Taking old thoughts, which means the form of your life now as a result of the thoughts that are embedded there. So when God wants to change the outward form of your life, he gives you new thoughts, and then you take those thoughts into your life by speaking those thoughts. Now, you don't necessarily have to speak those thoughts to other people. That's not the important thing. But the important thing is that you speak the thoughts. Because if you say it to other people, it just might not be time, all right, to verbalize those things. When a woman conceives, the child is hidden in the womb for 9 months for the purpose of maturity. So in order for the child now to be able to have the capacity to be exposed to a harsh environment, all right? So the thought is still in its seed form. You don't expose it immediately to a harsh environment, right? You cause that thought, right, to go on the inside of you. Because the evil thoughts will proceed and defile, then the good thoughts will, right, will proceed out of the man's mouth, right, and begin, okay, to purify his life or elevate him. So the first manifestation, therefore, of thought, that's the importance of words, right, are your words. That's its first form, which means when thoughts want to take shape, right, the first manifestation are your words. They are the vessels through which thoughts are carried. Now, it's not the only form, but it's the first form, which means that a time will come that the form there will take the form of actions and activities. But the first form, that's why when people thought that once I confess it, it will happen, right? Once you confess it, confession starts the process, but it takes more than declaring it for it to happen. But it has no chance of surviving, right, without, right, a person declaring it to themselves. So that's the first form there, your words. So if a person wishes, let's just say, to express abundance in their life, it's not difficult, right? It is not difficult. But what you've got to understand there is once you have seen it in the Word of God, that when God created man, he said, be fruitful, he said, multiply. You have seen it in the thoughts of God there, all right? Not that you looked on the outside and you saw somebody with something and you are jealous, but you've seen it inside the Word of God, that God's will is that man, that every time he describes his blessings, he uses words such as abundance, such as multiplication, such as increase. He uses those words. That you've seen that even nature, right, does not like for something not to grow and develop. That Jesus went to a vineyard and said, you have not been fruitful, you are to be cut down. That he tells us in John chapter 15, all right, that he says, I'm the vine. Any branch that bears much fruit, he said, you are my disciple, follower, which means Jesus, all right, is involved in fruitfulness. You understand that. You have seen that. And so you wish now to express that fruitfulness in your life, that abundance from a place of certainty there now in your life, right? Therefore, you can only afford to think thoughts that are consistent with this abundance. Any thought that comes in that suggests lack, that suggests failure, that suggests you are not going to make progress, immediately comes in. This is the discipline. You open your mouth there and you replace that thought with thoughts there of abundance that you have seen, right, by the Spirit of God.
Thank you for listening.